Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? When the team isn't a team, I was part of a team that was undertaking some training prior to a reassessment for a technical diver training program. There were three of us involved. Two of us had been fairly busy developing our team and technical skills, making sure that we could stay neutrally buoyant, plus or minus half a meter, and in trim while doing multiple skills and failures, all part of the assessment criteria. The third member hadn't done much at all in the previous 6 months, as they had been concentrating on completing their ID, C and IE. The first dive didn't go to plan. After doing a series of simple drills at 6 metres, we descended to 21 metres and swam mid-water at 21 metres, about 5 metres from the bottom. After about 3 or 4 minutes, we stopped mid-water and then one of us had to put up a DSMB. The clock started. As a team, we had to ascend at 3 metres per minute, 30 second stop, 30 second move, staying together. When we got to 6 meters, we had to do a gas switch to the stage, which had 50% in it within 2 minutes, and then a 1 meter per minute ascent to the surface. It was a mess. The diver, who wasn't well practiced, wrapped themselves up in line and lost control of buoyancy from 6 meters to the surface. Line was everywhere. When they surfaced, he laughed it off. I swore at them and told them this wasn't a time for joking. Not great teamwork. When we got out, we debriefed. It was a hard conversation. Everyone just needs to be better prepared. But it wasn't about individual skills, it was about how we responded as a team. We didn't know how to work together under stress because we hadn't practiced being a team in such a situation. This failure wasn't really about a lack of technical skills. It was a breakdown of the alignment of our goals. We lacked shared awareness, we had miscommunication, and trust was missing. The heart of teamwork. Our team had become fragmented because of different priorities in life, and we hadn't noticed the stress developing. Laughing it off was just a coping mechanism for the third team member, and I took it personally. We took time out to discuss the plan and understand what was going on in each other's lives. We adjusted our approach and passed the course a few weeks later after some intensive weekends of training. What makes a real team player? Most competent diving instructors can spot a diver with solid trim, buoyancy, and gas management technical skills. But the harder thing to detect, and even harder for instructors to teach, is the ability to function effectively in a team, especially when things go sideways. In their 2020 study, Team Players: How Social Skills Improve Team Performance, researchers Ben Weidman and David Deming tackled this very issue. They found that some individuals consistently helped their teams perform better than expected, not just because they were smart or skilled, but because they had high social intelligence, or SQ, slightly different to EQ. These team players weren't louder, smarter, or more experienced. They simply made their teams better. What does this mean for those who teach divers, especially those who are teaching technical or cave divers, where team is much more important? Firstly, it's not about personality. The study found that traditional traits like agreeableness, extroversion, or conscientiousness didn't predict who was a good team player. What mattered was something subtler, the ability to read the room, something called social intelligence, SQ. The researchers measured this using a test called reading the mind in the eyes, which asks people to identify emotions just from pictures of others' eyes. That ability to pick up on emotional cues, confusion, anxiety, confidence, and focus correlates strongly with improved team performance. And it matters even more in high stress, low visibility, time-sensitive environments like diving. Team players increase the chances that others will stay motivated to focus on the mundane but important, use time wisely, and adapt when things go wrong. Even when team members were working on independent tasks, being paired with someone who had high SQ improved their performance. That's a game changer for instructors and those who are leading because of their social position. See this series of the new Top Tips for Diving Instructors blogs for more on this. It means we can stop thinking about team skills as something fluffy or optional. They are as critical to mission success as gas planning or drill execution is, and they can be observed, developed, and debriefed. But you need to know what good looks like to start with. Let's be clear. Team players are not those who dominate discussions or always take the lead. They are those who notice the quiet hesitation in a teammate's posture, who ask open questions to check understanding, and who stay flexible when the plan changes. They are comfortable with uncertainty. They help others succeed without making it about themselves. Interestingly, the researchers found that this social skill, not IQ or technical competence, predicted performance on complex team tasks almost as much as individual task skill did, about 60% better. In other words, having someone with strong team skills in your dive group could make or break performance, regardless of their personal dive history. This has implications not only for how we teach students, but also how we lead courses, co-instruct with others, and assess team and individual performance. We need to start identifying, encouraging, and rewarding those behaviors that make everyone better, not just those that look good on video or in a photo. This is extremely hard, I know, given the social media culture that drives certain behaviors in the diving domain. Practical takeaways. Here are some practical takeaways to use in your instructional dives. Practice and teach teamwork explicitly. Don't assume it will happen naturally. Use team-based drills where communication, adaptability, and mutual support are essential. Guy's blog on how he put this together for a new class gives you some pointers. It's linked to in the show notes. Model team player behavior. Show curiosity about others' perspectives. Listen more than you speak. Ask rather than tell. Debrief the team, not just the individual. Ask what helped the team succeed, or what could we have done better together? The Human Diver makes this easier with the pre-printed wet notes containing the United Sea and debrief models. Observe emotional cues, look for body language, stress responses, and the unspoken. Highlight these to your team as part of the debrief and teach your students to notice them too. Redefine success. A successful dive isn't just no incidents or great trim, it's how the team worked together under pressure. Importantly, that success continues when you reflect back on the dive and recognize how you did work together as a team so you can replicate it the next time around. Teamwork isn't an add-on. It's an integral part of safe, enjoyable, high-performance diving. And as instructors, we have a duty to shape more than just individual skills. We're shaping cultures of trust, communication, and shared responsibility. Be the team player your students need you to be. Be better than yesterday. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.